الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as you are well aware, in a few days from now, we will be entering into the Mubarak month of Rajab. Rajab has many, many significance. Amongst them is the close proximity to the month of Ramadan. It was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that whenever the month of Rajab entered, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to recite the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That O Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and make us reach the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to eagerly anticipate the coming of the month of Ramadan. Together with that, the other significance is that the miraculous journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is the Mi'raj, the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and thereafter to the seven heavens, also took place in the month of Rajab. Now, prior to this miraculous and most wonderful, amazing, blessed journey taking place, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through a great amount of hardship in his life. The year before Mi'raj was known as Amul Huzn. It was historically known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief, year of sorrow, year of hardship. We find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he gave da'wat, then the greatest amount of opposition came from his own family, his own close ones, those who were near him. His uncle Abu Lahab was one of the open enemies of Islam. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued giving da'wat. And a time came when they realized that slowly, slowly Islam is spreading and slowly, slowly Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gaining popularity. So they tried various methods to curb the spread of Islam. So one method they tried was Abu Lahab met up with the other leaders of the other nations, of the other groups, and he informed them that let us boycott the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Banu Hashim. Let us boycott them. Nobody is allowed to marry amongst them. Nobody is allowed to sell anything to them. Nobody should interact with them in any way. Let us shun them, discard them one side. And they signed up an agreement. This was the agreement they took and they put it in the Kaaba. So as the days grew by and as this boycott progressed, it became more and more difficult upon the Banu Hashim and the close family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a leader of the Banu Hashim family, he decided that let us go and settle in another area. It became too much for them. So they went and settled in an area which later became known as Sha'bu Abu Talib, the valley of Abu Talib. And as time progressed, it became more and more difficult. They're not only amongst them, the tribes, the Quraysh tribes, the Makkan tribes, not only did they boycott the Banu Hashim family, but they began extending the boycott to other tribes from outside as well. So much so that if tribes from outside came and the Banu Hashim attempted to buy anything or wanted to buy anything from them, then the other Quraysh tribes from Makkah used to tell them that do not sell anything to the Banu Hashim. If they come and buy anything from you, inflate the price, and if you suffer any losses, we will help you in those losses. Such was the hardship that they placed upon the Banu Hashim. Days went by, months went by, years went by like this. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions that the difficulty was so much that days used to go by we did not even have sufficient food to eat. He says that one night I was so hungry. It was in the dead of night, it was dark. I was extremely hungry. And as I was going to my place of resting, my place of sleeping, my foot fell upon something that was moist. In the dead of night, I could not see what it was. And I put my hand in it, and not thinking what it is, I consumed it. And he says that up till today, I do not know what I put into my mouth and what went down my throat. But it was the desperation and hunger that I went through that I put it into my mouth. He mentions another incident. He says that I was so hungry and I came across a skin of a camel. So I took the skin and I went and I burnt it. And after I burnt it, I began pounding it till it became powdery. I mixed that powder up with water and this became my food for 3 consecutive days. Such was the difficulty that the family, the close family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. After 3 difficult years, many, many members of the different Makkan tribes, secretly they used to bring food. Sometimes Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab used to see them and they should catch them and beat them up and tell them that what are you doing? So they used to tell Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl that can't you hear the crying of the children? If you are not worried about the family members, at least have mercy on the crying of the children of the Banu Hashim. After a while passed, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to his uncle Abu Talib and tells him that go to the members of the Quraysh, negotiate with them that let us end this boycott and this banishment that we are suffering. And he tells him that an agreement that has been drawn up in the Kaaba, it has been consumed by ants. So Abu Talib goes to the leaders, the oppressive leaders of the Quraysh, and he tells them that let us end this boycott. So they said, no, this boycott has been cast in stone in the Kaaba and we cannot just end it like that. So Abu Talib tells them that that boycott, that agreement that all the leaders signed is non-existent. So they became very surprised. They said, how do you know? You have not been into the Kaaba. He says that my nephew has told me. And then he even went to this extent to say that thus far I did not hear one false word coming out from the mouth of my nephew Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I have full conviction in what he is saying. And I make a proposal to you that if the agreement is existing still, then I will gladly and happily hand over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to you. And if the agreement is no more, if the agreement is destroyed, let us end this agreement, let us end this boycott. So they were very happy with the proposal that Abu Talib put to them. They went into the Kaaba and with a miracle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that ants consumed that entire agreement and the only thing that remained on that agreement was the opening words that when they began writing that agreement, they wrote Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in the name of Allah. That was the only thing that was left on the agreement. They were very, very surprised, but true to their word, they ended the boycott of the Banu Hashim. This was 3 difficult years upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop the test and the hardship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. After this difficult time, in the spreading of Islam, in the initial days of spreading of Islam, there were 2 primary people, 2 close family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who assist Islam to a great extent. And whenever Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced any hardship and difficulty, they were the source of comfort for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, And the other was the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. When Jibreel Amin came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the very first time, then the first person that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to seek comfort and solace was Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And she comforted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and consoled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told the beloved of Allah that you are such a good person. Allah ta'ala will not put you through hardship and difficulty. You join family ties. You are good to the weak. You are good to the poor. And like that she mentioned all the Mubarak qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these were two very close individual family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had planned it such to test Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you, not long after the boycott, first was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib passed away, and thereafter the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she also passed away. Now, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with this grief, sorrow, hardship, difficulty experiencing upon himself and his family, he decided that he could not live, he could not stay in Makkah anymore. So he decided that he will go to an area that is close to Makkah al-Mukarramah, that is Taif. Perhaps they will accept the Dawat. Perhaps they will listen to the message of Islam. Perhaps they will assist him in the spreading of Islam. So Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes his journey to Taif. He takes with him Hazrat Zaid bin Harisa, who was his adopted son and freed slave, with him. And as they go to Taif, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam decides that first he will go and meet with the three chieftains of the town. That is, one was Mas'ud, one is Abu Ya'la, and the other was Habib. So contrary to the normal Arab hospitality, the moment they heard the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immediately they began scoffing and jeering at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They mocked the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this extent that one of them tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that could not have Allah chosen any person besides you? The other person says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I do not wish to talk to you, for if you are truly a prophet, then to reject the message of the prophet is trouble, and if you are not really a prophet, if you are not really a Nabi of Allah, then you are a liar. I do not wish to speak to a liar. And like that, they turned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam away. But they did not stop at that. After they turned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam away, they instructed the scum of society, the street corner boys, those youngsters, those very, very low morals of society that stay in the street corners, they instructed them to harm the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they harmed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent they began stoning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking, they began pelting him. The Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stones, that the entire Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was flowing with blood, to such an extent that the Mubarak shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was clogged with blood. As Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell down, they picked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again and continued pelting and harming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter departs, and prior to entering Makkah al-Mukarramah, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes refuge at the garden of open enemies of Islam, leaders of the Quraysh, Utbah and Shayba. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes refuge in their garden. Looking at the pitiable, these were open enemies of Islam. They used to cause harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah. But even they felt pity at the sorrowful state that the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in. They looked at Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they took pity. They instructed their slave Adas to take some grapes and go and give it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lengthy incident, time does not permit us to go into the finer details. But Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down there, and thereafter Jibreel Amin comes to him. Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha once inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the difficulty that the Sahaba experienced in the battle of Uhud. They don't know, by of Allah, was Uhud the most difficult day in your life? Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that definitely Uhud was a very, very difficult time. 70 Sahaba became shaheed. My Mubarak teeth were made shaheed. My beloved cousin and foster brother Hazrat Hamza radhiyallahu anha were made shaheed. As various close family members were made shaheed also. But oh Aisha, there was one day that was more difficult in my life than even that day of Uhud. And it was that particular day when I lay down in the garden of Utbah and Shayba, and this malaika comes in a cloud, Hazrat Jibreel comes to me in that difficult condition, and he says that these are two malaika, Allah Ta'ala has given them at your instruction, they are the malaika that are in control of the mountain, these two mountains that are surrounding this valley of Taif, it is under your command, this malaika under your command, you give instruction and Allah Ta'ala will destroy this entire nation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts his hand up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَيْكَ أَشْكُ دُعْفَ قُوَّتِي وَقِلَّةَ حِيُولَتِي وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلُنِي. Then, O my Allah, to you I complain of my feebleness and my weakness and my incapability in the hands of people. O my Allah, to whom have you turned me to? To these people that they cause harm to me and have placed such difficulty upon me. And thereafter, at the end of the dua, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that illam takun sakhitan alayya fala ubali. That, O my beloved Allah, so long as you are pleased with me, so long as you are not angry with me, so long as you are not upset with me, I do not care, I'm not worried. Whatever difficulty, whatever hardship you put me through, I am prepared to experience it, I am prepared to go through it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated there. Jibreel Amin tells him that the malaika at your instruction, you can destroy this entire nation of Taif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَلْ أَرْجُوا أَيُّخْرِجَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِشَيْئًا. Rather, my wish, my concern, my desire is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out from this progeny of this people of Taif such a group of people that will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will not ascribe any partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My wish, my desire is this, that how each person of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be saved from the fire of Jahannam and be taken into Jannah. It was after these difficulties, after these four hardships that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced in his life, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my beloved, Ya Habibi, udunu minni, wan najmi idha hawa, ma dalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa, wa ma yantiqu anil hawa, in huwa illa wahyu yuha, till the ayat where Allah ta'ala says, thumma dana fatadalla, fakana qaba qawseini aw adna. That after all these difficulties, now as a reward for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls his beloved to him. The journey of Mi'raj took place. That, oh my beloved, Ya Habibi, udnu minni, come closer to me, come closer to me. No other person went that close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To that extent, Quran says, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّا, that he came even closer. He was one or two arrow lengths close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a reward for the qurbani and sacrifice, for the years of suffering, for the years of hardship that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. Lengthy incident time doesn't permit us to go into the details of Mi'raj, inshallah, in the coming Jumas it will be discussed. But friends and elders, there's a lesson behind this entire incident. And what is that lesson? Nabi Kareem also went through hardship and difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to him as a comforting, as a solace, as a peace for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a gift. Then, O Nabi of Allah, take this gift now to your people. And this is a lesson for the humanity at large, that in every difficult moment in your life, in every hardship that you face, there can be no person that faced such hardship like the hardship and the qurbani and the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But whatever your difficulty, whatever your hardship, whatever the qurbani that you go through, there is one solution only for your difficulty and hardship, and that is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. Like a person who goes for a break and a holiday, and thereafter he takes something back to his people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this gift of mi'raj, that is the salah. That, O my ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your solution to every problem lies in sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. That the closest a person can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when his forehead is in sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the entire journey to the seven heavens and beyond. But this journey has been reduced. This journey is reduced to one sajda, that the believer, when he makes sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that entire journey of mi'raj, that entire journey to the seven heavens is brought right in front of, he's right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the sabak, this was the lesson, that, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the difficulty and the hardship, your solution lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your solution lies in turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this gift of mi'raj. Why? For this ummah to bring about, establish 5 times daily salah with jamaat in the masjid. This is the duty, this is the responsibility of each and every ummati of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make it easy for us to bring about this primary command of Islam. أول ما يحاسب بالعبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. That the first thing من عمله, the first thing that a person will be accounted for in his qabr, and the first thing that a person will be accountable for is his salah. That salah that he missed, that salah that he left out. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, there are many hadiths like this. Man fatatu salatu fakannama utir ahluhu wa maluhu. That person who discards his salah, he lets his salah go by. He is not punctual upon his salah. It is as though he has lost his entire family and his entire wealth. May Allah protect us all. May Allah save us all. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.